shoot no one.
Born again,
can't enter the kingdom unless he's
born again.
Flesh give birth to flesh, but the spirit give birth to spirit. Yo, you gotta be
born again.
I tell you the truth, no one.
Born again,
can't enter the kingdom unless he's
born again.
Flesh give birth to flesh, but the spirit give birth to spirit. Yo, you gotta be.
You haven't lost the vision when others do. Just make sure you never close your eyes, because procession is only bound by its beholder. Branches lose leaves while fruits decompose on the ground. Will this make a tree less valuable if its roots are still not intact? So don't lose faith in your dreams. Every year we have a season to harvest.
Born again,
I tell you the truth, no one.
Born again,
can't enter the kingdom unless he's
born again.
Flesh give birth to flesh, but the spirit give birth to spirit. Yo, you gotta be
born again.
I tell you the truth, no one.
Born again,
can't enter the kingdom unless he's
born again.
Flesh give birth to flesh, but the spirit give birth to spirit. Yo, you gotta be.
When your sight is in full bloom to reap its benefits from your upcoming season of love. Born again, season they prepared for all greatness. Trading doubts from parallel into perpendicular, because you're crossing the threshold of your real purpose to enjoy your life. Mediocrity and strife, complaining what's about and right, not right. When others you allow to obstruct your motive injectors, forgetting about our seasons that change, and yet people also do too. A time for love and also for pain. A moment for cleansing when all you once had purified will become stained. The important is to remember it's only for a season. That your visions are a celestial reason. So don't allow others to form treason.
Born again.
I tell you the truth, no one.
Born again.
Can't enter the kingdom unless he's
born again.
Flesh give birth to flesh, but the spirit give birth to spirit. Yo, you gotta be
born again.
I tell you the truth, no one.
Born again.
Can't enter the kingdom unless he's
born again.
Flesh give birth to flesh, but the spirit give birth to spirit. Yo, you gotta be.
Hello, welcome, welcome to Spoken Revelations. This is like this is a very exciting day for me today. We're going to be talking about various topics, but we're really going to be focusing on regression and unforgiveness. And before we get into that, we're going to say this prayer. We're going to go into this prayer right now. Today, Lord Jesus. Lord, please, if anything in our heart, please take it out, Lord Jesus, because we do not want to go in our unforgiving spirit, Lord Jesus. Lord, lead us and guide us the pathway that you want us to go, Lord Jesus. Lord, I want you to look on everyone here today, my producer, Rebirth of Love, and bless her in a special mighty way for this platform that we have, Spoken Revelations. And Lord, look on my listeners and my audience, Lord, and you see them and bless them in a mighty way, Lord Jesus. And we thank you in your holy name. Amen. Yes, and we're going to give thankful to our sponsor, Rebirth of Love. We're very thankful for this platform. And we thank you, the Lord Jesus and Rebirth of Love, for the platform this year in 2014 that we can spread the love and the gospel and a spirit of poetry and a spirit of, you know, humanitarianism throughout the world. But we're going to get into this right now. We're going to talk about unforgiveness and regression. And it's a big topic because I feel like a lot of us believers, and not just believers, but just people, we hold things in. And when you hold things in, it's not good. But I wrote this piece. It's called Why Keep Casting Stones, and I basically tailored this show, or actually this piece, for the show of regression. I'm going to get into it. The piece is called Why Keep Casting Stones. Then you wonder why in your life journey you lost so many miles. Perfect love has shielded you from our Creator that shelter us with abundance. while we were reluctant to do the same for the people who may have hurt you, we should aim of finding a place where we all could change. Wherever we sow, we shall reap. Let love grow inside your heart for your sister and your brethren. Why cast stones when we could use those to build homes, to love and accommodate? Show more love and peace, evident from this malnourishing mind state. Peace, why keep casting stones? And when I wrote this piece, I was thinking of, you know, a lot of times we always talk about people and, you know, and not knowing that where the Lord brought us from. You know, you could say, oh, well, you know, she did this or he did this and all that. And then in the same mouth or the same token, you probably was doing it last week, you know. And then when they do that type of behavior towards you, then you're like, well, you know, I can't forgive them. When probably the person that you had done the same behavior to last week, they probably forgave you. And the person that died for your sins forgave you, and that's Jesus. So don't give me like saying, oh, well, you know, people don't forgive me, so I'm not going to forgive others. You know, Jesus Christ forgave you, me, and all of us. He died on the cross for us. So I think that's very important to know that we should forgive. You know, a lot of people say forgive and forget. But, you know, I think that when you say forgive, I forgive, but I ain't going to forget. Well, make sure that you forget in regression. Because if you remember it and you keep it in your head, I think that is a type of regression. And even if it's not regression, maybe it's going to build into regression. You know, things happen to us in our lives, and I know it's very striking and it's heartfelt and it's, you know, dear to our heart at times. But we must understand that we have to let things go. You know, you ever heard us saying, let go and let God. And if we don't let go and let God, this is why we have this regression. This is why we have unforgiveness. This is why we can't move in our lives. You know, it's like a vine across your mind, you know, absorbing your strength. You know, that's one of the lines in my poem, because it is. It keeps growing, and it just wrap around your mind, and that's the only thing you can think about. You can't even work because you're thinking about this situation where how someone had done you, you know, and it's just stop it, you know. Move on with your life. You know, it's amazing, you know, with me. I mean, I'm not saying that I haven't done it myself, because I have. This is why I'm talking about it, because I felt like when I was falling into that behavior pattern, I couldn't do anything. Only thing I was thinking about, revenge or how this person is living, because, you know, he hurt me or she hurt me and she's okay, but I'm over here suffering, you know. And I refused to live my life like that. I had to say enough is enough, Dion. You have to go on with your life. You know, this is a big thing now, you know. It leads to so many other problems. It leads to health problems. No, but it just, we have to focus, and we focus on God. And if you're hurting that bad, you got to focus on Him. You got to pray to Him, say, Lord. And if you feel like this spirit is coming on you, you have to pray and just rebuke it. Say, Lord, I'm not going to fall into this. If you fall into it, you want to get just deeper and deeper. And I mean, the outcome could be really tremendous. You know, there's some people who fall into having suicidal tendencies. Some people fall into even murdering someone. You know, you say, well, you know what? I'm going to take matters in my own hands. You know, they did something to me, and I felt like justice was not served, and I'm going to do my own justice. And this is what we fall into. Unforgiveness. Vengeance is mine, say the Lord. You know, you have to rely on Him and have complete control. You know, I remember so many times, you know, there were things in my life and I, you know, that happened to me. And I was in a state where one thing could trigger it off, because one thing that had triggered it off, and I thought about, I said, well, And it's a small thing, because just like it could be a small thing that triggered off. Well, you know, something happened, and I was like, wow, this person did me wrong. But it was something small, it was something a little minor. But that little minor thing opened up other thoughts. You know, you could say, well, you know, all my life, people have been taking advantage of me. You know, and it may be this person, you know, you was at the store and this person didn't give you all your change. But then you start thinking about, well, you know, my brother or sister or my cousin or my friend stole $500 from me. And all this stuff start just developing in your mind. And that's why I was saying it's like a vine on your mind. It just grows and it grows. And it just siphons the energy that you have, the positivity that you have. You're always grumpy and you're always feeling like someone is hurting you, even when someone is helping you. Because, I mean, in a situation like that, myself, you know, people were like, you know, what's wrong with you? And I would treat other people that were helping me or being nice to me, even me, like, oh, you just like this person. You just, I don't want to deal with you because, you know, and would have you with a paranoid spirit and a paranoid state of mind. And that is regression. It plays back. It keeps you back. It keeps your thinking back. And this is some serious type stuff that we're talking about. You know, not forgiving anyone is just, to me, is ludicrous. Because just like he had sin cast the first stone, you know. And I'm quite sure that, you know, you have done something to somebody. And, you know, it was a thing like, okay, so why in the world are you, you know, and they were forgiving you, and why in the world are you not forgiving them? But I tell you, it's something that we must think about, and we must realize that it can change our lives, and we have to move above the unforgiveness. And it can really weigh you down, you know. I know many times with me, you know, I felt like I couldn't achieve even my goals as an artist. In my earlier career, I had trust issues, especially when it came to dealing with people in the entertainment business. Because when I was coming up in the entertainment business, I've been taken for a lot of money, you know, because I was naive and I was, you know, ignorant to certain things because I was so gung-ho and want to become, you know, this artist, this big artist to get my name out there. And so I was my nose up in the air with naivety. And
we're having some temporary technical difficulties. Bear with us for just one moment. We're going to take a short break, and we're going to play a song called Change My Heart.
Forgive me for all the wrong I've done to you, for all the pain that I've caused you, for leaving you. Forgive me, yeah. My heart cries out to you, my soul reaches for you, for leaving you. All of my sins to you. Commit my heart, commit my mind, commit my soul to you. All of my sins to you. Commit my heart. world to see your light, ever so pure. Restore me, yeah. Higher than I've ever been. Though I fall, I'll always win. Take away reoccurring sin. All of my sins to you. Commit my heart, commit my mind, commit my soul to you. All of my sins to you. Commit my heart, commit my mind, commit my soul to you.
Amen. Amen. Lord, change my heart. Change my way. Sorry for the technical difficulties, but I'm back. Yeah, and what I was saying is I was very naive and I had my nose up in the air, and I was taken for a lot. And so a lot of opportunities that came about, I was so paranoid of. So I couldn't even receive the blessing that the Lord was going to give me. So this is some serious stuff, and your life could be totally changed by unforgiveness and regression in your life. You know, it just brings added stress and hardship. You know, it's just amazing how just something so small that can regress in your mind. And it can do so much damage to what you want to do, to your goals and everything. It's amazing, you know. And we all got to look out for that, and we all have to, you know. And we all go through things like that, you know. It's just in different ways that is connected, and those ways, and even if it's small or big, you know, it could be a problem in your life, and it could keep you stagnant, and you don't want to be stagnant in life, you know, especially if you have aspirations for yourself. You know, it can get into your relationships. You know, at this point, you know you don't trust anybody, so that means you don't trust your future husband or your future wife. Because you think everybody's the same because you haven't forgiven that person who really did you wrong. And it's a bad thing when you do stuff like that. It's a real bad thing. And it's amazing how things can turn out that way by just doing that, you know. You know, many times we try to, you know, hide, you know, the unforgiveness. You know, we try to, you know, say, you know, oh, we forgiven that person. And we really haven't. You know, we still possessing the same, you say you forgave that person, but you're still treating them a certain way. You know, and it's all about love, you know. It's all about love, and you should treat people with love. But when you have unforgiveness in your heart, it's hard to love. It's hard to treat that person with respect because you know. And you always think of what this person is capable of, And I think that's the wrong way to live. You know, when you're dealing with people, and especially if you want to aspire to work with people. I think this is one thing that you should work on, you know, when it comes to working with people. If you aspire to work with people, you aspire to be an entertainer. You know, people are going to do you wrong. People are going to talk about you. People may do something to you to harm you. And it's imperative that you say, hey, I love you anyway. And I know you say, Dion, it's easier said than done, but we have to work on it. I think anything in life, you have to work on it. You know, with me, as me being an artist, I have to work on my artistry. You know, that's things I want to do, you know.
Amen. Dion.
Yes. Hey, Roberta Love.
I'm blessed this evening. I've just got over a month flu, and I'm truly blessed right now. I feel real good in my spirit. I just wanted to make a comment on that. I know I was in that place one time of not able to forgive, and it turned into bitterness, and that bitterness ended up consuming you.
Right.
It becomes your focus. It stagnates you. And just like you said, the person seems like they're getting away with stuff. They're getting away. And the more they feel that they're getting away, you want them to get caught. You want the worst to happen to them because of the pain. You want them to feel the pain, and it's just like they can't recognize the pain that you're going through.
Right.
But God can't use you like that. It just takes away from your life. And not only does it take away from your life, also diminishes you and makes you a person that you're not.
Right.
Because you could have a kind heart, but that pain, like you say, it turns you into somebody else. It changes your heart, and you don't even like the person that you become. And like I said, it's just a bad place. It's a bad place to be.
Yeah. It's a real bad place, and it's funny that you say that. Look, because you will turn into another person in front of your eyes. You know, and you said that one of the key words is bitterness, and yes, and that bitterness is contagious. It goes to every aspect of your life, where you know it could be your love life, or it could be you know, your professional life. You know, we have to move from that spot that hurt. We have to move from it. And I know for myself, you know, it was so hard for me to stop. And you know, and it's not like I'm not an unforgiving person. I'm not a type of person that holds grudges anyway. I'm just not. But it's like when something that hurts you so bad and it's so unexpected, it can really throw you for a loop. And you can be the person that, you know, very congenial, very, you know, happy-go-lucky person. You can be all that. But something in your life, it hits you, and it can have you thinking everything is so negative, and you can become bitter about everything. And that...
I just remembered what I was saying. I had lost my thought when I was talking. But once you forgive, you don't become the victim anymore. And that's the wonderful thing about it. When you begin to love that person and do the opposite of what the enemy wants you to do, then it doesn't really hurt you. And once you release that, it's an awesome thing. It's release and you can move on with your life, and it doesn't, that pain from that individual, even though they still may be hurting you, it doesn't hurt you anymore. It just released that from being a victim. But as long as you have that bitterness and resentment, then you're still the victim. They still going on with their life, but they're still doing that same thing to you. They just moved on. They happy, they joy, and you still in that same place hurting and crying. And they still, like, they just got you in that box. They just, it's just that it just happened. But once you love and that ain't your focus no more, then you, that being the victim, it has been released from you. Then you can move on.
Well, you know what I think, or what pulled me kind of away, what pulled me was the Lord. The Lord helped me to remove that regret emotion for my mind. He helped me to move it. But how he used it was he gave me comparisons of what my life was before the hurt. And I start thinking, I say, well, you know, before this person hurt me, I was doing this. Like, I was going to the gym working out every day. I was helping people at the pantry. I was doing so much community service at the local shelter and stuff. And now I'm withdrawing towards people. Now, I don't want to hear anyone talk because some reason they remind me of that place or in some way.
Yes.
You know, what the person
yes.
looked like, this person.
That's right.
And have you start doing,
yes.
you know, stuff like that.
Yes.
So,
and you, like I said, you're still the victim, even though it's not that person. You can go into another situation with someone else and another situation with someone else, and they haven't did nothing to you. And they're like, I don't know what you went through, but I'm not that person. But you're still that victim. You're still that, it's still the same way. It hasn't been released yet. But
yes.
I understand what the word says about loving your enemy. Because if you can't love your enemy, like I said, that's that word, you're going to be victim of the victim.
Right. Right. And it's really plain. And just like I said, you have to love your enemy because I'm telling you, if you don't, then you can see that it's going to turn inward in you, you know? You know,
yeah, let me tell you. I wasn't one to curse. And I tell you, my son, he was laughing at me because he never heard it because I was just like, oh, that don't even sound like me coming out there like
mm-hmm.
that. And, you know, the devil just going to show up on you. It's just like,
what?
You know, you don't even begin to like yourself. It's like, what has happened to me? After a while, you just notice that it's just a whole different person.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it turns into rage, and the rage, you know, and if that's all you're doing, a part of you, if you hear yourself, you're crying out, and you wanting that person to know how much they hurt you. And if one person hurt you and it seemed like another person hurt you, you've been hurt and damaged, and that scar is there, and you're not letting yourself heal. And then that rage comes out, and it's just like nobody really knows and until it's just like it's going to escalate, and you're going to end up doing something that you regret doing because it's like a bomb that's going to explode because you feel that no one really understands. I want somebody to know what the extent of this pain is, but they're not really understanding. And so you end up doing something that turns into rage, and then it's not free.
Right, right. It says, I want to read this scripture. It's coming from Ephesians 4:26-27. It says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and give no opportunity to the devil. You know, and just like you were saying earlier, you know, you have to let that stuff go, and that bitterness, you know, you don't want to be cut down in your sins and bitterness. You know, you don't want to go the last time, just say you go today, the next second. Do you want to live your life in fullness and thereof and sinless? You don't want to go and you bitter. I mean, I think that's the worst scenario, to go and you're bitter in your life. You know, everyone wants to go out saying, hey, you know, I've done the best I could. I worked hard, and I was a cornerstone for society. I help whoever I could help. But when you have unforgiveness, you're not helping anymore. You're not even helping yourself. So, you know, I really enjoy that scripture. I had to share that with you,
yes.
with all y'all. You know, so it's just amazing.
And Dion, you know? I see we have a caller, and I believe it's Toy Honey, and I know she got some great things to say in this topic. So. I'm going to bring her in.
Okay.
Caller 4049, are you with us?
Yes, good evening. How are you?
Hey, how are you doing?
Pretty good, yourself.
So, Joy.
Yes.
Yeah, I was actually, you know, do you want to chime in and say anything about the topic, regression and unforgiveness?
Can you repeat that?
I think, do you want to chime in and say anything about our topic, unforgiveness and regression?
Sure. I can say I agree with a lot of things that you are saying. And you know what? Honestly, God is still working on me. That's all I'm going to say. I was one of those people who would say, I'll forgive, but I won't forget. And I'm going to take you guys a bit back to where it started, because hurt didn't just come from people who were not blood related to me. That's where it started. And I can say some things, but that's where it started when I was little, probably about 4 or 5. And as I grew up, I just started seeing and experiencing more. But until I had actually gave my life to God, the first time I got baptized when I was 16, I was very, very, resentful. I felt like if I hold a grudge against somebody who hurts me, that's me getting back at them. And it wasn't right. And my mother had always told me, you think you still being mad at that person who hurts you is going to hurt them? They don't care. They're going on with their life. You're still worrying about it. And I kept thinking to myself, like, okay, why does she keep saying it? Then I didn't just hear from her. I heard it from other people. And like I said, I grew and everything, but I'd say probably to where I am now, a 31-year-old woman, I would say in the age that I am. And there was a lady I worked with 3 years ago. I believe she's in her late 30s now. She was 36 at the time. She told me, she was like, I'm 36 years old. I don't stress about anything. And then I said to myself, I asked her, why is it that you don't stress? She said, because there's no reason for me to worry about petty stuff.
What?
Life is too short. So all I can do is, like, say my say to this person and just pray for them and go on with my life.
I understand that totally. And you're right. And but what you were saying before, what I was talking about earlier about forgetting, you know, I forgive, but I don't forget. And just like I said earlier, sometimes we have to watch out for not, we have to watch out not forgetting, because that not forgetting can turn into unforgiveness and regression. And it's easy when it comes to something of emotional value, it's easy for it to pull you back into that state. It's like, you know, you was in a relationship with a person, and you love that person dearly, and you're not in that relationship with that person, but you know that if something happens that, you know, y'all became closer, or something like that nature, that it's so easy to basically fall in the same state you were with that person 2 years ago when you probably was madly in love. You know what I'm saying? So when we talk about emotional states, we have to be careful. So we actually have to forgive and forget, you know, but forget to a point where it's like, you know, you don't remember it. Of course you're not going to, you know, do the same things over, because it's just one thing. Once you go through something, it's for a reason, it's for a test. So you're going to remember, but you're going to forget the regression. You're going to forget how you felt in your heart about that person, and you're going to give them a benefit of the doubt. But a lot of people probably disagree with that, but that is the a believer thing to do, you know.
I agree with you, Dion, that just like now, I can remember those things, but they are learning experience to let me know what holding on to that bitterness, what it would do to me. But like you said, you don't remember the pain. You don't feel the pain anymore, because then you're free from that, because you chose to, I'm going to let it go. And the only way that I can let go is you know, just realize that I can allow this bitterness to take control of my life, or I can decide that I want to move on. The choice is up to you, whether you just want to sit around or I want to move on. Like T.D. Jakes says, woman, thou art loose. You got to let go of the old things in order for the new things to come in. So if you want healing and peace in your life, then you're going to have to let go all of that that is binding you and holding you down. You have to let that go.
You're right. Now, I'm like this. You know, I'm saying, you know, rebirth, I'm talking to you, and I'm like, you mad at me, and you had your fist ball at me, and you say, I want to strike you right now. I say, I want to give you $100, and you say, no, I'm going to strike you with my fist. Now, for me to give you this money, you have to, you know, put your hand out. You can't have a fist. And I think that's what unforgiveness is like. It's like, you know, the Lord want to bless you, but you got hatred. The Lord he can't work in hatred. He can't work in that type of state of mind. So if you hold it out on your blessing, he can't bless you when he knows every time you see that person, I can't stand that man. That man did me, and he did that, and he did that to me. I can't stand him. That man is living his life. And
Absolutely. He's
probably saved. Yeah, he's probably
Absolutely.
Saved and got a relationship with the Lord. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
But you the one is going to be taken down because of the demise of your hatred. We got to let
Absolutely.
It go. Let go.
And,
God.
And Dion, I was when Toy was mentioning about family, I remember when I was a child as well, before my father was saved, and there was, you know, things that were said, arguments and stuff on not towards me, not really understanding the children or maybe the disagreements between him and my, you know, yelling at my mother or something like that that I could not handle. And at a point in time, I just felt that I really didn't have a father. I just felt so angry towards him. Then there was one time in my life, I don't know if when I got, I don't know, about 18, I forgot when it was, but I decided, that's why I said when I had picked up that book about T.D. Jakes and it said, woman, thou art loose, that I realized that I had to, even though he may not have changed, I had to ask God, Lord, help me, and I forgave it. And when I forgave him, when I did that, then God did for me. My father called me on the phone in tears and said, I'm sorry that I wasn't the father that I was supposed to be, and would you forgive me? And he cried like he was leaving tomorrow, and he needed to do something. He cried like it was his last. He's still here. God still blessed him. He's still here. And God has saved him and changed his life. I can say that I love him. You know, we have a good relationship. But then that was bitterness. But when I did what I needed to do, then God touched his heart to call me. And he did what he needed to do like it was his last day.
Right. Deep. You know, you rebirth and Toy, I want to read a definition from Webster on regression. The act of going back to a previous place or state, return or reversion. I had to read that definition because it's the act of going back in place or state or return or reversion. And what I'm thinking of when I read this definition was the act of walking backwards. Walking backwards, not going forward in your life. You're going backwards. So whatever mileage that you achieve in your life, you're regressing back. So for you, it's going to take as much energy to go back to that next step that you were before because you went back. And why would you want to live life like that? That's like me walking backwards my whole entire life and say, wow, now I got to go back into you know, into this another state of my life. You know, that's not a healthy way to live. You know, and this is what we're doing when we allow these things in our life to attach, hold to our mind, our body, our soul, and say, hey, this is going to be a weight on you. This is going to be weight on you, Dion. So every time you wake up in the morning when you could be thinking about praising the Lord and loving the Lord and loving your family, you're going to be thinking about how this person hurt you and how this person is going on without you. Yeah, it could be that too. It can be that way too. You know, well, you know what, this person is doing this and this person is doing that and this person seems blessed, you know, because, you know, and I'm sitting here with the heartache and you don't know what that person's going through, you know. And, but it has a bigger toll on you than, you know, just, you know, people just thinking that you're just thinking about this situation. And this is why I want to do this topic, because it means a lot. It means a lot, especially in the beginning of the year, 2014. You want to go back to 2013, you know? I don't want to go back. Do any of you guys want to go back? Any of y'all want to go back to 2013?
I don't want to go back. I want to go forward.
That's right.
I'm ready for the increase.
Right. But if you go back, you're not ready for the increase. You're ready for the decrease, because you are decreasing. And that's what I like about this definition, because it says the act. That means you're doing it. That means it's action. So your actions are fighting against your will to live. Right? You want to live in the past. And that's a lot of times people live in the past. And some people not only live in the past for regression, some people live in the past because it was at a certain time in their life where they felt like they were free or they were more successful. You know, that's a type of regression as well. But, you know, but still, that is bad for you. Even if you go back and live in a time where you're not worried about a certain situation, but you feel like life was better. Like, you know, as many times you say, well, you know, if I was 21 years old, oh, I had this, and I'd do this, and if I was 21 years old living in this day and time, I would have it made. That's a form of regression, you know. Even though you're not going back and say you're hating this person or you're hating this time, but it's still pulling you back. So you're not going forward. You know, instead of saying, this is 2014, this is my year. This is the year the Lord ordained for me to become blessed. I'm going forward in the Lord. I'm looking for higher heights and deeper depths in the spirit. That's the way we should be talking. Man, that dude hurt me. Don't know how I feel. No, the Lord knows how you feel. This is why he want to move you. This is why he want to raise you up and bring you to another level in him. That was a learning stage from you. That was just a learning. That was a test that you had to go through. But he's going to bring you through it. It seems hard. We all go through it in some type of way. Maybe the severity of it may be a little different. You know, there's a lot of people that's, you know, really ready, you know. And it's sad, but just got to pray. Pray for increase in your life. Pray for us, you know. Wow. I think this, I pray the Lord for this topic because I feel like it's going to touch a lot of people. And I want to touch a lot of people. But we're going to go on to our next break. And we'll see you when we come back home. God bless you.
AR Bass. I'm a warrior. Let's get it.
I got the whole, I'm of the Lord. that's already won. Facing an enemy that's already done. Won't quit, can't stop this run. I'm a warrior. I got the whole armor of the Lord on me. I'm a warrior.
I'm a warrior.
Hey, devil, you can't ever keep me down. I'm a warrior.
I'm a warrior.
Put it on. I got the whole armor of the Lord on me. I'm a warrior.
I'm a warrior.
I'm a warrior. Hey, devil, you can't ever keep me down. I'm a warrior.
Bring the sound through the fire.
Amen.
There is
amen.
Purpose in your pain. Your struggling has not been in vain. There's no need to be ashamed, 'cause there is purpose, divine purpose in your pain. Be broken up to bring forth life, giving food to bring a child into this world. There's much that a woman, that mother she must suffer through. He was wounded for me, yeah.
Pushing up the earth, the phoenix had risen. Same time I arrived, but I took flight in different ways, won and lost on the same days. Spent significant time in a cage, even though I could never be outstage. Didn't make me an animal, made them transform more into their beast. Trapping my soul, they thought, but I was always released. So the territory I obtained, looking to me now, so strange. Obstacles seems like they're doable, a playground of fuel that's renewable. What's at stake becomes a steak that's tasty and chewable. My soul is intact even with all this baggage that was attached. As I was buried underground, breathing becomes like digging. In my darkness I saw visions, revisions of my past to ensure the next time I could again outlast the blockades. I gained insight showing another path would always become given. Put away so much dirt, kissed up, wow, I was such a flirt. I saw the enemy hidden, so glad I didn't do their bidding. Saved me from my fatal blow. At times I didn't know where to go. I was shiftless as a shrimp, But amazingly I fought against the tides, assuring me even in the ocean there wasn't any free rides. Love was my safety flotation device, a love that came up led my motion in flight. A devotion in sight, I became a winner, empty all my ways, even my title as a sinner. Even my title as a sinner. Emptied all my ways, even my title as a sinner. My title as a sinner. My title. Love was my safety flotation device. A love that came up led my motion in flight. A devotion in sight. I became a winner. Emptied all my ways, even my title as a sinner. Pushing up the earth, the fiends had risen. Same time I arise, but I took flight in different ways. Once and lost on the same day.
You need is love from Jesus Christ. He will lift you up. I have another piece to share with you. It's called Daylight. And I hope it will give you insight on this topic, unforgiveness and regression. Let me get into it. The pain of your footing, the aches that play, trust and obey. It's going to be okay. While you're in your dark wilderness, your souls of your soul will never perish. So step on in his promises to cherish. One day your goals you will handle. Don't burn both ends of the candle, consumed by any doubt. He always been faithful to you. Try doing the same for him. Joy shall become your morning. Daylight will part your Red Sea of trouble. The horizon you shall see, Israelites, hearken while your sea is storming. I beseech thee as a warning. Don't abort this ship of love. Wait because the daylight is forming. Jesus is the light of the world. The night subsides to his greatness. Try Jesus in every hour, for he holds the lantern of hope. Almighty power, Jesus, the light of the world. End poem. From unforgiveness. Find Jesus. Are you in your darkness? Pray. It will get better. And I know that's what helped me. Love of Christ helped me to remove the stains that was inside my heart, the stains that someone else put there. But he washed me whole and clean. Sometimes we look at things and we say, Lord, why? Why did this happen to me? Why? I wasn't a bad person. I went to church on Sundays. You know, I gave to the charity, you know. But you know what? It's a test. And the Lord wants you to know when he tests you, he wants you to move on. You know, you're the pass. You pass the test. That's like me just going and say, okay, I took an exit exam in literature, and I'm now moving on to literature too, studying those notes, thinking that studying the notes from last semester is going to make me pass for literature too. It's not going to happen because I move on. You know, it's an exit exam. I acquired knowledge from that last test. So that knowledge is there, but I'm only learning the helpful stuff that I learned. You know, I'm not going to take on the knowledge from there and think I'm going to proceed to pass literature two. This is the concept I want to give you when it comes to becoming that person that's forgiving and that's loving. Because my mother always told me, love is what it does. Love is an action word, you know. And regression and unforgiveness is an action word too, but as you read in the Webster, it's going back. So that means you're not walking forward, you're walking backwards. And we must, because the daylight is forming. It's forming. Sometimes we have to look at the horizon. We have to look at the sky. We have to look up, which comes our help. And our help is from the Lord. You know, a lot of times, the reason why we in this regressive state of mind and unforgiveness, because we're looking at worldly things. We're looking at, you know, things that we can't change. These are things that you know, the enemy is putting in your mind, and half of them are lies anyway. You know, yeah, I know sometimes I've been in a situation where, you know, I had something against this person, and the person didn't do anything to me, but I thought that person had done something because all the things were aligned in that way. I was like, oh, yeah, this person said this because look how he or she is looking at me. Yeah, she said it or he said it. And that's not the case. Put ourselves in this state of mind where it's weight, it's stone. You know, it's like, you know, my mother always told me, you know, when she was younger, she used to, have frog races and stuff. And, and they used to have their frogs, and I guess they get money back in the day when they used to do this. But what happened, they used to feed the frogs. So, you know, if you're racing the frog, they used to feed the frogs like pebbles and stuff so it can weight it down so your frog can beat the other frog. And so my mother used to always say this, you know, God rest her soul. She always like, you know, the devil is making you a loaded frog, you know, and he is. Like he's putting stuff in your spirit where you can't grow. He's stunting your growth. It's a vine across your mind. And it's just taking all your energy, all your positive energy. And even though there's action, but the action is replaced by negative energy. And then you wonder why you can't grow to a certain level in your life. You can't achieve the things you want to achieve. But I just want to let you know that the Lord is there, and he can help you. He can lead you, and he can guide you into the right path. And we all need to be led and guided in the right path. So
amen.
We all
amen.
Need that.
Amen. I agree with that statement. I think, Dion, we were talking about that the other night about when I was thinking about discernment. Because, you know, if you can just hear the enemy talking to you and telling you, oh, she thinks this and she whatever like that, and if you don't know that that's the enemy speaking, and sometimes you have to, you know the word and what God said. You know, God is not a God of confusion, you know.
Right.
And so when you know the word and you know, okay, this is not of God, this is not decent, everything must be done decent in order, you look at what the words say against what the enemy does, and you know who's speaking to you. But if you don't know who's speaking to you, you're going to get sucked into that, and you're going to actually, your emotions, that's when your emotions are going to be controlled because you don't have that discerning spirit to know who's actually speaking to you.
Right, right, and to discern the spirit means a lot, and a lot of times some people are born gifted with it, and some people have to pray for it. it's an attribute that you should have in your spiritual walk with him, because you're right. You can be mad at this person and hold an unforgiveness, and they haven't done anything to you, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I remember my brother had told me a long time ago, I guess I was like, I don't know how old I was, but I used to be very, and I told you that too, Dion, that I used to be very temperamental, and I didn't think about it before the action, you know. And, you know, when you put the words out there, they already out there, and they can harm. You can't take them back or anything like that.
Right.
And so my brother told me, he said, just put it in, whatever someone said, just put it in the back of your mind and, you know, just ask God to give you humility and give you a revelation of what they're saying. And so you have to go to God and ask them to speak to you. You know, that's where the discernment spirit comes from. Because they might not be meaning any harm. They may be saying something to help you, but you're thinking they're saying something, you know, to belittle you or make you feel like you're not, you know, better than this or something like that. And really they may be trying to help you. And a lot of people don't like criticism. They can't take that. But, you know, you get to learn the fruits of the Spirit, and the fruits of the Spirit is humility, long-suffering. And like I told Dion, I have graduated. I have humility. I have patience.
Amen.
And those fruits of the Spirit are very important. Discernment is very important. And it's just like putting on the whole armor of God when you do those things.
Right. Rebirth. I want to read this scripture, and I think it's very pertinent to what we were talking about. It's Ephesians 4:32. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, as God in Christ forgave you. Now, I was talking about that earlier. You know, some people are sitting around with grudge in their heart against people. And the reason why you're standing and the reason why you have salvation, a place to go when you leave this earth, is because God forgave you. You know, he's forgiving you every time you say, Lord, I did this. Lord, I did something. I called discord among someone. Lord, please forgive me. He's forgiving you, but you cannot forgive anyone else. So, I mean, to me, to our Father, that's got to be a slap in the face, you know, because he's forgiving you for all the stuff you've done, but you can't forgive your brother or sister for, you know, doing something that you may not have liked or doing something that they probably was under their influence, or maybe they were under some doctrine, or maybe they thought it was right, but you cannot forgive that person. How greater the love of God is in you, you know? And we got to really think about what we're doing and how we're reacting to certain ways of our lives, because you must understand, there's people watching you as being believers. You know, they say, well, you know, this pastor, this preacher, this evangelist, this prophet, this poet, he's saying all this stuff, but then on the same token, you know, someone did something to him, and he's holding a grudge against his brother. Yeah, his brother was wrong, but he's teaching about love, you know. Look how many things they did to Jesus. I mean, they whipped him, crucified him. Say that he wasn't what he was, and he still say forgive them, for they know not what they done. You know what I'm saying? So we have to really evaluate ourselves. You know, and I'm not saying it's easy. It's not an easy thing to do. But you know what? Nothing in this life is easy if it's worth having. Nothing. You know, the things that I wanted and I achieved so far in my life, I had to work hard for. I had many sleepless nights, you know, trying to achieve what I need to achieve and achieve the stuff that I want for my Father. So what he gives to me, I can give back to him to be a blessing. So I don't want to give him unforgiveness. I don't want to give him a replacement. A regret state of mind, a stagnant mind, when my Lord is a creator. That means he's always creating. And I want to be like him. I want to create good. It's not so much just, you know, through music and poetry, but create good. Create greatness for humanity. Tell your brother and sister, I love them. I'm thinking about you. What's wrong with that? Show them love. Even when they don't show you love.
Absolutely. I just thought about that because when you said that about examining ourselves, sometimes we can make it easier on ourselves. If we show the love, the pain is going to be less if we do that.
Right.
So sometimes, like, you know, my mother used to say, make sure you're not doing anything to cause that. Sometimes we allow it. Sometimes we put ourselves in those same situations to get hurt again. And then that's what we're doing. We allow it, you know. And we call ourselves not going back there again, but we end up, there may be sometimes, there could be a situation like codependent where there's something that you're needing. So you end up putting yourself in that same relationship or that same situation, not knowing that that's the situation that's causing you pain. So you allowed it in order to get something. And so that's what we have to ask God, complete me so I don't have to keep running to this thing that keeps causing me pain. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying. Sometimes we run away from something and end up running right back into that thing that caused us pain, and we don't realize that until we figure it out and say, God, I need you to complete this weakness, because whatever that is that I'm trying to complete it, that thing is, that's the thing that's causing me pain, because I'm not letting you feel it.
Right. When I read Rester, it was saying regression is going back. So you know what? We are running in circles. We're running back. So therefore, you could never escape. You know, if you know, it's like the movies. When I was younger, I used to like watch horror movies. And, you know, and you know, you see the people running, and they running for something, and it seemed like they're always running to the mountain. You know what I'm saying? They're always they holler, and they always either fall or they run into the mountain. Well, that's just like regression and unforgiveness. You can't run away from the mountain. You know what I'm saying? Because you know why? Because you're in a state of going back at all times. You're in a state from running for something you're scared of, but you're always going back to it because you're not running forward. You're running backwards because you're blinded. You're in a dark wilderness. You're blinded. You can't see your way. You have to pray your way out. You know, there's some things, you know, in when, you know, at night, you know, we have a feeling of, even though when it's dark, we know that it's going to, at a certain time it's going to be light. You know, we have that anticipation. Living in unforgiveness, you have doubt in your heart. You know, you have this stagnation where it's like, well, you know what? I'm going to stay here, and I'm going to fester in my hate towards this person. You know, I don't care. This is how I deal with it. Well, the way you're dealing with that pain is that you're running back. You're regressing back. You're not hurting that person. You're hurting yourself. And we have to learn, say, Lord, whatever I have in my heart, please remove it. Now, he may not move it in a day. He may not remove it in a month. But he can remove it. And by the process of moving it, he's teaching you why it's wrong. You know, it's just like, you know, with not only just tell your children, oh, that is wrong, don't do it. Of course, that's great. You should tell them it's wrong, but you should tell them the consequences. So when they think about it again, they say, well, you know, the reason why, you know, my dad or my mom don't want to bother this because this can happen and someone can get hurt and we don't want to get anyone hurt, so I'm not going to do this. You know, and so when it comes to regress and unforgiveness, you know, the Lord, he'll take it out, he'll take it from you, but he's going to show you why you don't need to practice that type of behavior. You know, he's going to show you things. He's going to send people your way. He's going to show you, you know, you're going to see somebody that went through something because they didn't forgive, because it happened to me. You know, I was like, well, you know, this and that. I'm not, you know, I'm looking at this person, and the Lord showed me someone who sat there their whole life, you know, and I never forget the time, you know, because I don't say no names or whatever, but, you know, I went into this person's house, and he was talking, and I had this, you know, just unforgiveness spirit about, you know, someone in my childhood. And I sit there, and the man went through the same thing I went through. Similar to what I went through with that person. And he said, you know what, if I could do it all over again, you know, I would have did this to that person. And I regret myself to this day. I am like, you know, 80-something years old, and I regret it. And I think about it every day. Every day I live, I'm going to take it to my grave. And I'm looking like, wow, I hope I don't take that to my grave, because I'm looking at this person, you know, that this person was thinking about this every day. This is why, you know, he didn't achieve anything in his life, you know. And, you know, I know that's the reason why. You know, you may think, you know, well, I'm free judging, but that's all he talked about. And so if that's all you talk about, that's all you think about, how the Lord is supposed to minister to you? How he's supposed to minister to you and say, you know what, Dion, I want you to go down there to the shelter, and I want you to drop off some groceries, and take care of my people for me, Dion, and I'm gonna bless you with a job. I'm gonna bless you with a car. I'm gonna bless you, bless your children. I'm gonna bless your mom. I'm gonna bless your sister. No, because I'm thinking about, you know what, I can't stand that person. That person makes me sick, and I'm going to do whatever I can to make that person's life miserable. And I wish this happened to this person. That's hate in your heart. You cannot thrive. You cannot grow and have a healthy life living your life like that. And it's just, it's a shame. And I think this is what we're talking about when it comes to the topic that we've given today. Unforgiveness and regression.
Absolutely. And I think you had mentioned earlier about, yes, it can cause you stress, and then stress can end up messing with your health, and it can be a silent killer. I mean, people lose weight, it messes with your nerves.
Right. Right. And, so, you know, and I saw that was happening to me, you know, with a lot of things. Just like I said, I was losing my career behind it because I didn't want to deal with anyone. I just, no, I don't trust you. You wearing the same cologne of that person that hurt me. You know, it would be that small, minute things, and I wouldn't deal with that person. Oh, that person reminds me. Yeah, that person's smiling. Yeah, he smiles just like that person that took my money 2 years ago and said that it was going to help me, you know? And, you know, the Lord gives you discernment spirit. But if he gives you discernment spirit, but if you don't use it, and if you're not in that spiritual state where he can use you, how are you going to use his gift that he gave you? He can't use you when the only thing you're thinking about is hating somebody. He can't use you. You cannot be used in the full capacity that he wants to use you at with hatred in your heart. You can't. I know I couldn't. If you could, you let me know. And I say, you're lying. Because there's no way you can create. There's no way where you can find out where you can be at in the next 5 years, you know, without having a clean slate of life and saying, hey, whatever you want, Lord, you know, my mind is free. Give me what you want me to do. I'm not thinking about that person. Lord bless them. Lord bless them. Yeah, they did me wrong, but Lord bless them to get out their mess. Because I got peace. I made peace with that, Lord. We really have to stop thinking about that. We have to make peace. And if we make peace within ourselves, then we can think about making peace on this earth. Because this is one of the reasons why the world is so chaotic. People don't forgive. You know? That water needs to run. You know, when a lake doesn't have flowing water, what happens to that lake that doesn't have flowing water? It's like a swamp, because no water getting in and no water getting out. But I tell you, we got to forgive. Our Father forgave us. Jesus forgave us. And I just want to thank Troy for calling in. I want to thank my producer, We Birth of Love, for the platform and her wisdom on this topic, because we need to talk about this. And I feel compelled in my spirit, and I want to pray for y'all, because we need it. We need love. We need to forgive the people who had done something to us, because you never know. Never know. The one you don't forgive is the one thing that's keeping you from success in life. I love you all, and y'all have a great night and a great day to all my people who listen to the archives, and may God bless you.
The life Christ gave me when he saved me from catching spiritual rabies and going crazy. He takes me into a secret place so we can talk face to face about his mercy and grace and taste of his goodness and all of his glory, so I can prepare to teach and tell all of his story. Now look at what he did for me. Laid his life down just so he could get glory out my life now. It's all about Christ now. I'm living right now. Forget all of the hype now. Time to turn on some lights now and live holy. Sometimes you just might have to live lonely by yourself, you and God only. That's why I never let people influence me. At the end of the day, truthfully, what can you do for me? Nada, papa, don't even bother. When you're ready to get your life right, holla, holla, holla. Attention to other people's decisions. Listen, while you satisfying your lustful desires, I'm praying you get baptized in the Holy Spirit with fire. So you can see the importance of what it means to follow Christ and have someone interpret your dreams and your vision. Get your life back on track. Clean up your act and take that pack of cigarettes back and that weed sack, because you don't need that. The next time the enemy comes, tell him keep that. If it's not about Christ, let him know you can't receive that. And if it's not God's word, you know you can't believe that. I think you ought to try Christ instead of always giving advice, because, yo, this is my life.
My life.